Fantastic. My goodness, we've got to the last presentation of the day. I don't know about everybody else, but I'm excited and motivated by everything that's been, but I'm also starting to feel like I can breathe a little bit again. It's the end of another FineConf. It sort of both wraps up a year of development, but also sets up the year ahead. So in traditional fashion, I'm going to have to do exactly that and talk about where it is that the project is going and what we're trying to do for the next 12 months. I think it's probably come up in conversation a couple of times already, but it has been quite a long road already. It's been a really enjoyable experience. It's been like taking a road trip with a bunch of friends, but more importantly, that's behind us. It made what we've done today possible. Where we're going is even more exciting, and we're heading to somewhere that seems really important. With 7 years of development and 120, maybe 125 contributors. Unfortunately, I have lost count. I rely on GitHub statistics, which are mostly good, but you know, I don't necessarily check them every morning. With tremendous support, we've achieved something really incredible. I'm excited to talk about where it's going from here. But at the same time, I just thought there's not been a lot of talk about AI across today. And of course, if you just ask anybody at a conference, particularly, I was going to say somebody out on the street, maybe not the same, but somebody at a conference is going to say, AI is changing the world, it can do all your coding for you, software engineers are going to be out of a job in no time flat. Well, with everything there's nuance, and I'm not entirely sure I agree with that sentiment. However, the work that we're doing here isn't being replaced by somebody who could just generate code. We're building the technology that's fundamental to making a future like that possible. The AI is generating code for products or helping businesses to create their front ends more quickly. But to address all of the different devices out there, you still need a robust technology. You need to be solving complicated problems. So I think we're in a place that's actually going to be led on more by these tools going forward rather than less, which is great and terrifying at the same time. As I said, this is a really big community. There's a lot of popularity increase, and we're finding people coming from places that we hadn't talked about before, use cases, product opportunities, and rollouts that we hadn't envisaged, which brings the challenge of what exactly do we focus on? There's so many different things out there. How do you narrow it down? And I think for me, the next phase, we've talked about a lot of features that have been added recently. We've talked about features that are being worked on, and some of those will absolutely be core parts of the next release. But I think also we need to look more at production readiness, the finesse that makes people feel like the applications are ready to use, they fit with the device. We've seen some applications that tremendously meet that already, but it was a lot of hard work for people to get there in some cases. So the more that we can do to make them ready for your audience right out of the gate, but also to help address the wider audience and things that we can do to increase adoption, again, to places that currently aren't able to make use of the technology. I hope it wasn't too much of an ambiguous statement, not an elephant in the room or anything. Accessibility is one of those things that we're going to need to work on. It's been at the top of the list for quite some time, but it requires work to make it possible to then expand and deliver really well on. And that has only recently become possible that the building blocks are in place. So to make this integrated with all of the system specifics, we're going to need to do exactly that. Connect to the operating system's definition of what accessibility tools need and present. So that is the first thing that we're going to be working on as we go into our next release cycle. Probably delivering for mobile targets and for macOS and Windows initially. We can't do this everywhere all at once because every platform is different, but we know that those are the main platforms that really matter. And first of all, we need to deliver on the basic screen reader support, and that means that the operating system knows what's happening in the app so that there's basic understanding about what's being presented on the screen, which means that we can actually build on it from there. Probably we'll have to look at the theming to be a little bit better for high contrast accessibility as well. It might be a separate theme with special needs thought of. It might be a refinement of the current theme. But with these part steps taken, we can now work with individuals who want to help, who know really well the requirements of accessibility due to their own needs, their own situation, or people that they know, And some of these people are being held back from doing it at the moment because we haven't put in place the fundamentals. So we'll do that and then be working with people going forward to make it a really good setup. And I think because this is a system that's set up with retain mode, we know how your application is functioning and we can pass that on to the operating system. So when we get this delivered, the first version should be pretty good at describing what's going on your screen. So that was the first major thing that I think is important. Additionally, we want to make it easier to help you get applications out to more places. The tooling is all there, but sometimes it's a little bit challenging and perhaps needs documentation to get through the process, which is not ideal. All of this stuff should be completely straightforward. The aim is in upcoming releases to have better support for window signing so that we don't get flagged ever by virus detectors and things like that, which sadly, antivirus doesn't understand Go binaries yet. It's been 15, 16 years, but they still think it looks a bit dodgy. So by signing, we can help people get over that hurdle. Notarization for macOS. Again, that means that the operating system inherently trusts the applications much more. I have a working prototype of that for my own code, just working on rolling that out into the open source so that everybody gets that same benefit. And I think it was touched on very briefly in the tooling side of things. Distributions and packaging is challenging, but the more that we can do for the varied platforms that people want to work on, the more that we can help roll out to wider audiences further afield. And I know that the package managers for various different systems are already looking for what fine apps are getting out there, and they look, oh right, fantastic, yeah, we'll add that one into the repository. Add that one into the repository, because they are now realizing that the application feels more robust than, I don't know, some other applications that have been built in other ways. I can't talk for somebody's decision-making process. And also, there's work I think we can do for iOS. It's complicated partly, or mostly, because of the certification process that Apple has put on the device, which I understand the need for, but we can do more to help people along the way. If you want to build for your Android device, you simply say, stick this app on my Android device, and it will go through all the steps, and it will appear on your phone or tablet. With iOS, it will probably fail because it can't find the signing certificate, or it doesn't think that you're entitled to put your software onto your phone. So we're going to try and make that easier for people along the way as well. Additionally, in this theme of production readiness and getting applications further, there's a whole bunch of work that I've wrapped up in the summary of workflow enhancements that I think should help applications feel more complete or robust. Some of these we've discussed in the past, having a required support on form and updating the validation process as a whole will neaten up a bunch of code. It will make some custom code that's been written no longer necessary, and we can wire up through things like data binding or simple function assignment. Also related to accessibility, keyboard control becomes essential, whereas before it's sort of been a nice to have, and we kind of knew it could be better, but now it's absolutely critical that we get this right, making it easier to navigate without the use of your mouse. Conversely, we're working with more devices that don't have mice, but have screens, so better touchscreen support. It works really well on mobile devices, but not all touchscreens are on mobile devices. And so desktop being the kind of fallback type, we need to make sure that touchscreen works on those so that the richness of embedded devices or hybrid tablet and so forth devices can get the full benefit as well. Working to integrate better into systems, we're looking at URL handlers so we can do more deep linking. You can launch applications partway into their flow. And we've heard about Android Intents already. Fantastic to see the amount of work going on in that place. And to be able to bring abstractions in that make it easy for people to build on that, again, is the true enabler that helps us to accelerate everybody else's development as well as the library itself. The other thing about real workflow is notifications. At the moment, they're pretty bland. They tell you that a thing has happened. But of course, the world has moved on since we wrote that code. People expect to interact with them, whether it's tapping to deep link or different types of actions that you can take from a notification panel. I think we need to do more work to bring that up to the level that's become expected on some platforms. Not all. We need to work out how to elevate it on platforms that understand how to be elevated, but still function on platforms that are a little bit more rudimentary or where standards are still being discussed. And naturally, we should completely have a rich text entry at some point. It's becoming a fundamental block to some types of applications. It enables really cool things like code editing or inline editing of rich text. It's the next big frontier. And I think once a toolkit gets to the point where it could do an editor of rich text, it's proved that everything is in place. So we'll do that as well. And then everything will be done, you know, all good. Maybe not everything, but yeah, that's going to be a good one to have delivered. I'm nervous. It's a really big one. It's complicated, and I think we pushed it back 2 releases already, but I'm excited to get started on that one. And just so that I'm not talking completely about hypotheticals and things that we know are important and we're going to do, I thought I would just drop a little bit in here about what's actually happening already that you can expect to see pretty soon. There's a new blur primitive in the Canvas package. I teased it on social media a month or two back, and I said it will be in 2.7. Turns out it's done, but it's not actually fast enough to say it's ready. So we're holding it back one more release. But it's there, you can play with it and think about how it might integrate into your application. Camera and sensor integration. We've heard about cameras, there's complications, but it's being unblocked. Sensors become possible through some of the same enablers as well. And we're looking at the API design at the moment about how that can be integrated really smoothly and to be extended in the future to drop in new sensors, new peripherals really easily in a way that's just going to work on all devices. For example, your mobile might want location, but then does your desktop, which doesn't have a location sensor, not care about location? No, it probably cares. So how do we fall back gracefully when there isn't truly a hardware sensor in a way that your application is going to provide essentially the same functionality, but maybe not in a precise way because it's going to vary based on your hardware. I love that I'm not the first person to say better cross-compilation is going to be important. It's absolutely there. Again, the tooling exists, but it could be easier. I think that that's going to be, well, I mean, it is being done right now. When it comes into the flow, I don't know. It's very interesting to hear that Google is working in this space as well. The Go team is looking at alternatives to some of the C compilation under the hood, which is kind of the thing that makes it complicated. And if they shift to a compiler that's more platform agnostic for the C code, like Zig, then our life gets a bit easier and we don't need to solve all of the same problems. So we'll sort of see how that evolves for a short while and then run at it with the tooling that's available at the time, I think. Another target that functions but could be better is mobile web. It actually relates to the work going on in embedded as well, because the delivery through the web browser doesn't know about the hardware. So it assumes you're on a desktop computer because that's the default. So we need a way to adapt that code to the interactions of a touch device, much like our embedded code is currently working on how do we have touchscreen controls in an environment that doesn't really understand that it is mobile in context. And that's working on an evolution of how the code is shared between different drivers so we can enable more hybrid systems going forward. As you can imagine, that's quite a big refactor. Some of this code was written 7 years ago and needs a little bit of untangling. Which leads to the desktop touchscreen is kind of the other part of that puzzle. Those are all things that are partially underway at the moment, which I thought, oh, cool, you could go and play with them if you want. Honestly, I think the blur is the only one that's almost there, and it's just a performance thing. The others, hopefully they'll land at, as we go into the next release cycle, which takes me on to the release cycle. Our plan going forward, what does the process of the project look like? I think that the 4 to 6 month between release has been working quite well. 3 releases is great, and 2 is fine, and sometimes releases take longer to mature into readiness than others. 2.6 was a massive one. We worked with a lot of people on how do complex applications migrate through these threading changes. I'm very happy we did, because the safety that we created through the migration process means you can upgrade your app and it's going to function quite acceptably, and then over time make some changes using the find.do, opt into the migration and it's flying. So that process has been worthwhile, but it did take a little bit longer. And going forward, you know, hopefully there's no big ones, but who knows? So we'll roughly keep that process. And in between, a roughly monthly bug fix, it seems to be working okay. There was one example a month back, I think, where there may have been an issue upstream with some semi-official Google repository called Tools. If that rings a bell, you know all about it. If it doesn't mean anything to you at all, well done, you escaped it. But should we just say, it became a bit of a joke in itself at the last Go conference, and we've learned the projects themselves fed back about the process. Technically, no promises were broken, but processes have since been updated so that we can avoid painful points. But amazingly, the Go team responded. They had a fix out in a day, and we had a patch release available, I think, the day after or the day after that. So within a week, an absolutely world-breaking change had been fixed, and there was an update out there, and a lot of people never knew. The 2.7 release is underway. If I'm being completely transparent, some of the things that I've talked about as having been done are in that release, and it's not yet out. But we have the code, the feature freeze, the release candidate comes in a week, and then we'll be testing it thoroughly, and it's early in October, I believe, that the estimated release date will be. So do check out, there's a releases page, get the info there, and test it already, see how it works with your applications and be part of that preparation process. I touched on some of this before. It's going to include arc, polygon, date entry, navigation, so between the canvas, the containers, the widgets, there's a few big headlines there. And the embedded driver drops in there as well, which allows some of the work that we're going to be then progressing into the release afterwards. Release H comes after that. I don't have a name yet, but we expect it's going to be v2.8.0, so that begins our 2.8 life cycle. It should drop early next year. We're not entirely certain what it's going to comprise, but it should include accessibility and the validation and required functionality that I've been talking about earlier. Those are our top level priorities. There'll be a lot more, and unless we discover something blocking, they will be in that release early next year. And rather than just thinking about the next release and only the next, we're starting to work on planning for the release after that, which is code, not even code named, code lettered I. I think you could probably see the pattern here. We're going to start working on that so that we can know that what's going into the H release is enabling anything big that we want to achieve in I. And it was part of the discussion this morning, I think, that we had some really good ideas about what big picture things are coming down the road and how we can be better on top of planning for bigger releases and getting us further down that road. Really stretching the metaphor there, sorry. However, please do be part of this project and help us out in some way. If you're not already part of the community, you'll not know that they're just like an amazing bunch of people, but you can find folk from Fine and the Go ecosystem on Slack, Discord, Matrix, Twitter, X, Mastodon. I think we have an email address, and Reddit seems to work quite well, actually. There's a really good group of people discussing projects and techniques all over the web. If reading about how you can do things is your jive, docs.fine.io is a place where you can find all of our documentations, examples, and tutorials. If video is more your thing, there's an official channel on YouTube. There's also unofficial channels. There's a whole lot of people creating a lot of content. And there's a good chance that if you're trying to do something and you're not sure, there's actually an example for that specific thing. So do check it out. There's so much material being created now. We're always looking for people to contribute more, whether it's coding, testing, designing, doing documentation. It's incredible, actually. Contributions can come from nowhere. Sometimes it's just a person coming along, learning, enjoying the community, and answering questions, although they're not writing code at this point in time. They just like what's going on and want to be supportive. So that's fantastic. All of our planning, everything that needs to be addressed or that we're thinking about is up on the GitHub project in the Fine repository. You can track releases, milestones, everything, including planning discussions. And there's a lot of other repositories under that organization for the documentation website for the example repositories. Of course, do spread the word. Anybody that you bump into, sometimes I walk down the street and I'm like, that's a software engineer. You need to be working on, are you building apps? Get on Fine, it's really fantastic. Okay, I don't literally do that, but honestly, I did in San Francisco. They're all building stuff. And you're just like, nah, you're thinking about an app problem, aren't you? All right, I got the solution for you. But more seriously, there's so many ways. I mentioned the apps listing before. It's linked right there. Pop your app up there, or go and have a look and see if there's a gap. We're looking for help with distributions. That's people in Linux package managers or Chocolatey or whatever the latest thing on Windows is, to have the applications get out there further so people see it, understand the capability, and then want to do something themselves. And also be part of the ever-growing community. Just a nice place to be. However, of course, the big one also is please do consider sponsoring the project or finding somebody that would be interested in sponsoring the project. The reality of this is, despite the many wonderful people that sponsor the project, meeting in person is an expensive thing to do, and next year probably won't be possible unless we find a new sponsor. What a tremendous amount of stuff we've covered today. I'm really excited to be here. I'm so glad that all of you are here. Hello and goodbye to everybody online. I hope you've had good chat as well. And I really can't think of anything else to say, but it's been great to chat with you. Thanks so much, and see you next time.